Who likes a good fight? Does anybody get excited? Who likes hockey? A few hockey enthusiasts here. And isn't it just a little bit exciting when you see them drop the gloves and go at it? Yeah? And do they get a little bit rough sometimes? And or maybe like conflict in movies or books. It's funny how I think there's something about conflict that appeals to all of us in one way or another. It makes the story interesting. If you think about your favorite book or movie, how exciting would it be if there was no conflict and everybody just played nicely and got along and everything was always good and there was no conflict? It'd be a little bit boring of a story, probably.
No.
Some kind of, yeah, conflict, tension. Yes, yeah. Well, it's interesting, though. I think that when it comes to our own lives and having to deal with conflict or having to confront an issue or a problem, we maybe are less enthusiastic about that or don't enjoy that quite as much. And we're going to talk, I'm going to talk this morning, take a cue from Daryl last week, I guess, and talk about something that's not necessarily enjoyable or something that we all like to do or to talk about, but it is the issue of conflict and specifically, I guess, confronting sin or confronting a problem. If I can find my right notes here. There we go. That's the problem with having too many papers stuffed into your Bible, I guess. Before we get into this, let's just have a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you have given us in it and ask that as we look at it here this morning, that you would guide this. Let my words be directed by you. And God, may we just go away from here with having gained something, gained insight from your word, from your truth, and being challenged in how we live. I just pray this in Jesus' name. So I'm just going to be looking at primarily at one verse, Galatians 6:1. So if you'd all like to turn there with me. You may be familiar with this verse, but it speaks about confronting sin in others. So Galatians 6:1 reads, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted." So, in the very, well, first of all, I want to talk about the context here, that this was written by Paul to those in Galatia who were teaching that there was teaching going on there that Christians needed to still follow certain Jewish laws and traditions, and one of those specifically being the rite of circumcision. And in the book of Galatians, Paul spends a lot of time countering this heresy by teaching that salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ alone and nothing else. So it gives us a bit of an idea. There would have been some legalism there and some of these things where people teaching you need to hold to Jewish tradition even after Christ and he had fulfilled the law. So the scenario given in this verse, you see a believer, and this is something that it does say, I'm not sure what everybody's translation says, there are a couple that say brothers, like that say if you see a brother or sister, but Literally, it's brothers, if you see someone. So it doesn't specifically say a believer, but if we look elsewhere, it talks about how, actually I want to look at in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how we as believers aren't called to confront the sin in the lives of non-Christians. Why should they be held to a standard of Christian living if they don't claim to follow Christ, don't believe in him? We should seek to win them over, and then we can confront issues. But specifically, this is speaking about confronting the sin in the lives of believers. I just want to read in 1 Corinthians 5. And in verses 12 and 13. Or just 12 even. It says, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside?" And actually 13 as well. "God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you." And so if you look at that, and the context is addressing issues that are happening in the church there, and Paul's saying, we aren't called to judge those outside of the church, but we are to judge those inside of the church. So we look at this, that a fellow believer is found in sin. So, and the command then is that we are to restore this brother or sister. And it seems simple enough, right? Someone's in sin, you go talk to them and restore them. But there's a little more to it than that. And probably when you think about this idea, get a little bit uneasy about the idea of going and confronting someone who's in sin? Anybody? I know I do. I don't enjoy it. Most of us probably don't enjoy it. And if you do enjoy confronting someone, maybe there's something in here for you that maybe it's a good reason to not enjoy it. It's not a pleasant experience. And there's a lot in this verse, actually. I want to just kind of unpack this and see what it's talking about here, what some principles are to in this confronting sin in others. So the first part, even right away, is a little bit scary and might deter us. It says, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual. I want to just talk about that. The word spiritual can have all kinds of different connotations for different people. And sometimes you might picture somebody who is kind of holier than thou, maybe stuffy and staunch and doesn't know how to have any fun, always serious, someone you don't want to be like, maybe. Or you might have the other side where it's maybe something you want to attain to, but you never will, and kind of this idea of someone who's perfect and never does anything wrong. Neither of those are proper understandings of what he's talking about, you who are spiritual. And again, to talk about context, immediately before this, in Galatians 5, all the kids would know that they've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit downstairs last month, I think it was. And so Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit and talks about the acts of the flesh versus the fruit that the Spirit produces in us. And so just after talking about this, you who are spirit, or talking about the fruits of the Spirit, he's saying we all as believers should have the fruit of the Spirit growing in us. We don't have them perfectly yet. We're all on a journey, but we should have the fruit of the Spirit being produced in our lives. And so then here he says, you who are spiritual, just having talked about, you should be spiritual and not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You should restore such a brother. So he has a reason in kind of where he orders us, first of all, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and then talking about how that plays out in our lives. So again, not that we are perfect or without sin. So don't let this term of you who are spiritual scare you away from confronting sin that you see. but rather consider it also, yeah, that we should be spiritual. And it also speaks to, I think, the motive or attitude that we have in doing it. Because as we all know, we are not all spiritually minded all the time. So we should be working to allow the Spirit to grow the fruit of the Spirit in us, but we still do act in the flesh. We still do act out of our own sin nature. And so it also is a reminder that when we're confronting sin in someone, that we need to do it spiritually minded. Especially if someone sins against us, it's very easy to have to be angry with them, to be upset with them, and then you can do it, you can do that confrontation not out of the Spirit, but out of the flesh and out of our own desires, whether it be to get, I don't know, yeah, just to, whether to condemn them or whatever it is. But so we should remember that before we approach someone, to be spiritually minded. And I think that also, you know, something that we can ask the Spirit as well to give us the right heart and the right mindset in doing that. So the second thing there, you who are spiritual should restore. And this also is talking about motive. When we confront the sin of someone else, we can do it in a condemning way. We can do it in a I'm better than you kind of way. We can do it with all kinds of different attitudes. But this makes it clear that the purpose to do that is to restore this fellow brother or sister to a right relationship. It's sin is something that is destructive in our lives. We see throughout Scripture that it brings death, it brings destruction, it brings pain, it brings all kinds of negative things. Even if they aren't experiencing those things right away, we can say, look, I see you doing this, and that's not good for you. So we have their best interest in mind to recognize that they need to be restored to a right relationship with God in that. So the purpose of confronting issues should be to restore the brother or sister. Those who are legalistic, as I mentioned, the context here of the Galatians, that they had some of this legalism creeping in, these rules that they had to follow. Those who are legalistic don't seek restoration generally when confronting. They, think of the Pharisees, saw themselves as better than everyone else. And legalistic people generally will put others down or condemn others to make themselves look more, to look better, to look more holy or more spiritual in one of those senses of the word that maybe isn't the most accurate idea of it. But they don't seek to restore. Legalistic people don't seek to restore, but seek to elevate themselves and make themselves look better. So the third point, it says you should restore the person gently. And this is really important. Who likes to be confronted with an issue that they have? No hands? Nobody likes to be confronted at the best of times. Even if someone comes to me in a gentle and a kind way, it is hard to accept. We don't like to be told that we did something wrong. We don't like to be confronted or called on things, but it's important. And so if you want to be heard, if you approach it in a gentle way, you're much more likely to be accepted well and to receive well. It's interesting, too, that in the previous chapter, in the fruits of the Spirit, one of them is gentleness, right? So maybe that's the only thing we need to say about this, that when we do this, it should be done in gentleness, because if we're doing it, if we who are spiritual are confronting something with a brother to restore them or a sister, we should be doing it having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So gentleness is something that's so important when confronting and seeking to restore. And gentleness also communicates a desire for restoration rather than condemnation. I think these things all tie together, that if you're going in spiritually minded and you want to restore them, you're going to want to do it with a gentle spirit because you want to restore them. You want to see them turn from their sin. And then the last part of the verse, he says, watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. And this again comes back to that idea of an attitude of I'm better than you. You're the one sinning. I'm the one who's confronting it, so I'm better than you. But rather an attitude of humility. And I want to just bring us to a story in 1 Kings, and a story about Solomon and Jeroboam. Now, Solomon was, as you know, King David's son. He was a very wise man, supposedly. No, the Bible says he was a wise man. God gave him great wisdom. But he also disobeyed God in one big area, which was his wives. He had 700 wives from different, they were all of royalty of different countries. And God had said, don't marry women outside of my people. Don't marry the women of the, when they went to the Canaan, when God brought them to the promised land, to Canaan, he said, don't marry the women of the people there. They were supposed to drive all the people out and wipe all the people out. But Solomon didn't listen to that, and he married all these different women from different countries and different kingdoms, and sure enough, they all led him astray to where he was worshiping their idols and forsaking the God, forsaking his God, the God of Israel, our God, and not being faithful to him. And so because of that, God brought a prophet to tell a man named Jeroboam that he was going to take this kingdom, that he's going to take the kingdom of Israel away from Solomon. Well, not Solomon. He said he would not do it during Solomon's life because of David's faithfulness to him and the promise that he'd made to David. But he was going to take it away from Solomon's son, leave him just with one tribe. And he was going to use Jeroboam to do this. He was going to use Jeroboam to take away the kingdom of Israel from Solomon's descendants. And he did. He brought this about. Jeroboam became king. But the interesting thing is, in the next chapter, so this was in 1 Kings 11, in the next chapter, 1 Kings 12, we see Jeroboam then setting up a couple of golden calves for the Israelites to worship. And I just thought it was an interesting picture of this in relation to this Galatians 6:1 text, where of that, watch yourself, or you also might be tempted. And so Jeroboam, who first of all was the one that God used to bring about his judgment on Solomon, and yet then Jeroboam turns around and does the same things, worshiping false gods. So just because God wants to use us to address sin in the lives of others doesn't mean that we are better than them. It doesn't make us exempt somehow from sinning ourselves. So we need to do this in humility and very carefully, that we don't also fall into sin. And I think about the story of the woman who is caught in adultery. If you know the story, the Pharisees bring this woman to Jesus. They say, this woman was caught in adultery, and the law says that she needs to be stoned. So, you know the story, but Jesus said, let him, if anyone is of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And everybody knew there that none of them could throw that stone because they'd all sinned. And we're the same way. We can't condemn each other because we all have sin. And I may be confronting someone about sin today. Next week, they may be confronting me about a sin I have. And so we need to do that with gentleness and with humility, recognizing our own propensity to sin, our own tendency for that. And I love the end of that story because Jesus said that they've all left, all those who were there to throw stones at her left. And he said, where are your accusers? Is no one here to condemn you? And she said, no, they're all gone. And interesting thing there is that not one of them could have accused her. There's only one person there who could have condemned her, and that was Jesus. And he said, neither do I condemn you. But then he doesn't leave it there. He says, go and sin no more. So it's only God who can condemn us. Yet in Romans 8, Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we're not to condemn one another. We are to help each other to go and sin no more and to encourage one another in that and spur one another on in that, in lives, in spiritual lives, in lives of holiness. We don't condemn. So just to conclude this, we as believers need to address the sin in each other's lives when we see it. There may be times where you see somebody sinning and you don't have the best relationship with them. Like, it might be somebody you don't know well or you don't know at all, but you know they're a believer. You can talk to someone else who might know them better, but there's different principles or things that you can, you know, evaluate. Am I the best person to talk to them, or is there somebody else who could talk to them that might be better? But, you know, these are things that can be done prayerfully as well, and considering what's best to do that. But sin in the church and in, you know, among God's people needs to be addressed and needs to be confronted and needs to be done with a spiritual attitude, a spiritual heart. And one key thing there is to pray about that. When confronting a sin, pray to get your heart, your attitude right. It's done for the purpose of restoration, not for condemnation. Done in gentleness and done in humility, being aware of our own tendency to sin. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for bringing us into your family. Thank you for bringing us into right relationship with you, Lord. Thank you that in you there is no condemnation. But yet, God, we still need to address sin as we are not going to be perfect this side of heaven. God, allow us the right attitude to when we see sin in others, to address it in the right way, with humility, with gentleness. And let us, when we sin, have that humility that it is needed to accept correction and to receive that from our brothers and sisters, knowing that it's you who's prompting them, who's wanting to correct what's wrong in our lives. God, may we just remember these principles and these things that we've looked at in your word, that we might grow in relationship with you, God, that we might grow closer together as a body and as a better witness for you and for what you've done for us. So God, we just pray these things for your honor and for your glory. Amen.